Hello and welcome to Talking HE. My name is Santanu Vasant. In this episode, we speak to Roshni Bagotra, a digital learning specialist, artist, and arts educator. We discuss how Roshni came to podcasting, what are some of the key principles or considerations when producing a podcast, what are some of the accessibility enablers and barriers to podcasting, thoughts on where podcasting might go in the future, and top tips for others thinking of starting a podcast. We hope you enjoy this episode.
Hi, Santanu. So my name is Roshni, and I work as a digital learning specialist at UAL, but I also am an artist and an arts educator.
I'd like to begin by asking, how did your relationship with podcasting start?
So I guess my sort of initial relationship with podcasting started through listening to podcasts, I guess. And I listened to a lot of music, and I listened to a lot of radio and podcasting. And actually, that was more related to my creative practice rather than within kind of HE specifically. And I've been doing that since about 2015, 16. So it was quite a while ago. But I think one of the things that I find so interesting about the medium is listening to experiences of other people, or kind of, you know, hearing and just understanding more about what someone's perspective is. So I worked on that for a while, and then I did some sound work for kind of, you know, lots of different avenues. So I did it in creative context balls and educational context. And I started having more kind of technical applications in teaching. And then over time, I think I stayed, continued to experiment with these spaces. And I started mixing the idea of discourse and debate with something like podcasting as a kind of basic platform to kind of share the voice. And then obviously after that, I started doing more nuanced projects that were more focused on educational podcasting. And I think really the biggest difference was tying it into the student experience, because it is quite, I would say it's a completely different space to like traditional podcasting, because it is within education. So there's a different set of parameters.
What are some of the key principles or considerations we should have when making podcasts for education?
I think one of the biggest things, I mean, there's a big long list I can think of, but I'll just detail a few that I think are the most important. But I think firstly, considering the reach of what you're trying to do. So is it internal within, you know, the group of people, or maybe within education, you know, the kind of groups and situations you might find yourself in. So whether that's with students, or if it's with staff, or if you want it to be kind of externally. So I think just thinking about who your audience is really important, because you might want to kind of take a different, you know, totally different approach. I think another thing is thinking about whether podcasting is actually the right format, because I mean I'm quite biased, I feel, because obviously I'm a big fan of the form in lots of different ways. But I do also think, you know, as with most learning technologies, I personally think it's useful for all sorts of scenarios, and I think you could embed it in nearly every single part of education. But I do think if you're thinking of making something, it's worth just thinking about if it's the best format in terms of, you know, reach, access, recording time, you know, are people perceptive to it, that sort of thing. And maybe actually that's something that sort of comes on reflection, but it's something I think I always think about. Another consideration to make is thinking about which perspectives and whose voices you might be including as well. So I think just thinking about storytelling, and inclusivity, and, you know, diversity in that realm of things. I think it's, I'm not saying it's kind of an entirely easy solution for including you know, all sorts of different people, but I think it's definitely a good start, and it represents I guess a desire to sort of include more voices. So yeah, definitely thinking about voices. And then I think one of the other things is just thinking about ethical implications of using students in the podcasting, if you are using students, because I know that often, you know, students enjoy being part of that process as well. So it can feel like quite a, you know, a collective experience rather than perhaps a solo experience where only staff, you know, are creating podcasts. And yeah, just thinking about ethics of that. So, you know, thinking of where the podcast might sit and how long it's going to be there for, and the kind of potential legacy of that as well. Because I mean, you know, particularly in an arts university where many students, when they leave, actually part of them developing and becoming creative practitioners is potentially using their themselves as a sort of, I don't want to use the word brand, but it is very much, you know, they might be responsible for promoting themselves, you know, independently. And it's really hard to do that anyway. So I guess it's just considering the long-term implications of sharing someone's voice. And I think that's something that will affect nearly everyone who is thinking about doing a creative career seriously, even if they don't want to. And that's speaking from experience. You know, you might not want to actually share every part of your kind of identity, but that's kind of part of that is part of, you know, developing your practice in whatever form that's in. And again, I guess it just speaks to what I mentioned before about the parameters being slightly different in an educational context, just because I think there's a little bit more about maybe ethics and a kind of duty of responsibilities.
Can you say a little bit more about the enablers and barriers for people using audio in education and what that means for people using podcasting?
Focusing on, again, something like the voice, which is normally at the centre of most podcasts, a bit like this one. I think just being able to use that as a format, in, you know, kind of touching on the wider perspective of accessibility, just being able to kind of capture a voice and share it and have people potentially listen to it. I think in terms of, you know, a broader sense of accessibility, that's just a really great thing to be able to do, because it can also encourage you know, like more authentic dialogues, and I think more collected dialogues, and everyone loves to hear about other people's perspectives, but I guess this sort of creates a neutral space to do that. So I think that's one of the biggest enablers. Obviously, there's loads of barriers to audio for those who may not be able to hear well, or if they are unable to hear at all. And, you know, depending on your level of access to that, I think having things like transcripts is obviously super important. So having, you know, text and textual options is really essential. And it's funny because a lot of people always ask me, oh, do you think we should even be reading text at all anymore? You know, and I'm sort of thinking, well, no, we definitely need the text. You know, it's not necessarily about, you know, pushing out other forms of learning and saying only podcasting is, you know, the best option. But I think it's about really understanding the benefits of podcasting and actually using everything in tandem, because, you know, sometimes it is easier to read the bulletin points of what a podcast has to offer before you listen to it. But then equally, I mean, depending on, you know, how the podcast is shared, you could always, you know, like I've experimented with having different versions of transcripts, so it's not actually maybe, you know, detailing exactly what is written word for word, but it might just be a kind of cluster. I think there's different ways to do it, I think.
What do you think is the future of audio in education, and what might that look like in a few years' time?
I think that's a really hard question. But I also think because we're now more receptive to, I think, digital technologies, maybe post-pandemic, in certain, maybe, you know, I'm sort of thinking specific to maybe an arts environment, I think, because we're more receptive to digital technologies now, whereas maybe before, I think in certain areas, it's not that people weren't receptive to it, but I think it maybe wasn't as accepted. And maybe arguably it wasn't, it's not that it wasn't needed, but it wasn't always seen as an option for something that would be kind of, you know, suitable to use in a kind of educational setting. And I guess I am also speaking from a very particular perspective of, you know, spaces that maybe didn't embrace online education as much. So, because I'm aware, obviously, in different sectors that interaction is completely different. But I think because of that, and because we are more receptive, I think it's hard to say how many people will continue to use the technologies. But I think if they do continue to use the technologies, all I can think about is the kind of development of ecosystems and digital networks. And I just keep on thinking about, you know, if everyone had the same capabilities and the same level of digital literacy, it would just bring the kind of standard of what everyone's doing a little bit more cohesively, I suppose. So that's what I could see that happening, but equally I think it's not about forcing people to use these formats, but I think it's about helping people to understand where it could be beneficial, whether they're a listener or a creator of the kind of podcast. And I guess I'm thinking about things like new technologies as well that might sort of not interfere, but, you know, interfere with the development of that. So things like ChatGPT, I'm scared to say what I'm about to say, but maybe they'll start creating, you know, their own recordings, or there might be a way to kind of develop, you know, who knows. And then if something like that happened, then it would just change completely what it would mean, to create a podcast. So I guess I see I think the future of it is really rich, and I think it's a really exciting time, and I feel really excited about it. But I think, you know, whenever there's a new technology introduced, it'll just change the landscape. So I'm kind of excited as well to see what might happen. Bit dubious, but excited nonetheless. And another thing that I'm also working on, you know, to develop the future kind of potential for this type of work is I'm doing some more educational broadcast focused work, which is, it's part of my research interests, but it's also part of a wider field of work that I've been working on creatively with DIY broadcasting. And I think just bringing, you know, just having the potential to create something like that and create an ecosystem like that in an educational setting, I think can be really empowering in loads of different ways, because again, creatively, that's a completely different thing. You know, and the audiences I think about when I'm creating that, the work for Rounded Radio is not the same as what I'll be doing on this new broadcast space, which is called Educational Frequencies. And I think one of the intentions is for that to, you know, one of the intentions is for that to almost visit other, you know, communities of education. So it's not just focused on, you know, the kind of UAL experience, which is where we've done some of the broadcasts at the moment. So I think I see that as becoming, you know, just that again, talking about ecosystems and the future of how it might kind of, you know, practice like that could interact. I see it as quite a community oriented approach. And that's something I'm looking forward to developing.
And if people are inspired to get podcasting, what are your top tips?
I would say just go for it. But I also think maybe before you go for it is just understand why you might want to create a podcast. So, you know, that might be because you want to help share your voice, or you want to share a story, but it also might be that you want to capture a kind of different story, or you want to kind of capture someone else's story. So I think just really knowing why you're doing it and who the audience is really one of the biggest kind of hurdles, I would say, because you know, there's so many different types of podcasting now. And I mean, maybe you could even try, you know, if it's not in an educational context, you should just try and make some personal podcasts that you sort of create for yourself to listen back. And I know, you know, a lot of people don't enjoy listening to their voice, myself included. But I think that's a really good way to practice your own listening and kind of execution skills as well. So you can get a bit more confident. Some other tips are as well, you know, recording in general is just so much more accessible now. You can do it on your phone, you know, so don't feel intimidated by some of the technological barriers that might be there. I think just giving it a go and experimenting with it. And I guess the only thing I would be cautious of is, you know, when you're sharing things publicly or if you decide to share things publicly, I guess just... yeah, have a think about who you want your audience to be. And, you know, you might find you actually want your audience to be a very select group of people, or you might want it to be a sort of, you might want it to be everyone, you know, the whole world on the internet. But I think just having that understanding of where it might go is good, because, you know, it feels a bit like sometimes like social media where it's so easy to upload things now that you don't really even think about where it might be going and who might be seeing it and the legacy of that in, you know, in like a couple of years. Those would be my top tips.
Thank you to Roshni Bhagotra for her time. To find out more about Roshni's work, please visit roshnibhagotra.com. If you've got a comment or query or would like to appear on a future episode of Talking HE, then please email santanu@santanuvasant.com. Thanks for listening. I've been Santanu Vasant, and this has been Talking HE.